Thank you. What a blessing. What a blessing. Well, it's better second helping. Second go around. I got to hear him earlier and enjoyed hearing him again. Brother Clark leaned over to me, one of the early songs they sang. He said, "You can preach now." And you're right, brother. Music like that just puts a pep in your step, and tell you what, it sends you to the Word of God and makes you ready to hear it. So let's take our Bibles, and I'm going to let you stand with me. You've been sitting there a while. Turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, chapter number 6. We're going to be reading the familiar Lord's Prayer. You're familiar with it. But you know, a lot of times we come to a passage like this, we hear it and we're familiar with it before we ever read it. And I want us to do it just now. Let's lift up a silent prayer to the Lord that as we read this, it will fall on our hearts freshly. A lot of times we hear a passage we've heard ever since we were little, and we begin to hear it and say, "Oh, I've heard that. I know that." Let's hear it as if it were for the first time. Let God sink it down deep into our hearts here this morning. Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning now in verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Be seated if you would, please. We're coming to the Lord's Prayer this morning, and we're doing it for a special purpose. A few weeks ago, I found out that we are going to have Vacation Bible School dealing with the Lord's Prayer. In fact, those of you who are kids or teenagers or be working with the kids in just a matter of weeks now, you're going to be going on a prayer safari. It's going to be an African theme, learning all about the animals and the customs and the land over there. At the same time, each night of the Vacation Bible School, they're going to be looking at some aspect of the Lord's Prayer. And so in preparation for that, the seed thought was put in my heart by someone in the Vacation Bible School, and maybe I could preach on this. And at first I was a little, maybe hesitant. But as I began to seek the Lord on this, He seemed to be saying, "That's exactly what you ought to do." And so that's what we're going to do beginning today and working up toward that week of Vacation Bible School. Now, we're not going to look at all of the prayer today. We're going to do over the next course of weeks what the Vacation Bible School will be doing night by night by night. We're going to be looking at different parts of it. So today, this morning, in just a few moments, I want to share with you some basic truths out of the first couple of verses. Look at them again. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Now, this indicates that this prayer is a model prayer. A lot of times people want to recite this Lord's Prayer, and they do, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. Committing it to memory, certainly that's a good thing. But if we just use the words without getting beyond that, we've missed the whole point, because Jesus did not say, "Pray using these words." He said, "Pray after this manner." He's not giving us the words necessarily to pray. He's giving us a blueprint. He's giving us a guide. He doesn't want us to mindlessly come to this passage and just like pushing a button, pray it off, reel it off. Because when Jesus came to this earth, a lot of that sort of thing was going on. The Jewish people from way back in Old Testament times, they had a high regard for prayer. We know that God heard prayer and answered prayer, and they were a praying people. But when Jesus came and He spoke these words, He was speaking to a religious crowd that by and large had come to the place where they were just going through the motions of prayer. It was mechanical. It was ritual. It was just like what I said, pushing a button and going through it and not really entering into the spirit of prayer. So what we should do is we should take this prayer as our model, as our guideline, and use it for our own prayers and our own time with the Lord. I want you to notice three things out of verses 9 and 10 that are very, very important for us to learn today. First of all, I see here a relationship with our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, it's not a Father, it's our Father. This is a prayer for believers. You know, oftentimes this is prayed in mixed crowds. Maybe a convocation somewhere. Maybe a graduation somewhere. Maybe some kind of a cultural event. And now let's all pray the Lord's Prayer. And so everybody recites it at one time. Listen to what I'm about to say. This is a prayer for believers only, because only those who are believers in Jesus Christ can actually and honestly and truthfully say, "Our Father." He is everyone's creator, but He is not everyone's Father, because not everyone has Christ as Savior. Now, how do we go about having Him as our Father? That's a personal relationship. And it begins when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. I think it perhaps says it best in John chapter 1 than anywhere else in the Scripture, where it says, "Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him," that is, by faith, "to them gave He the power to become the sons of God." So it is by receiving Christ as Lord and Savior that the Father receives us into His family. And then you might say, we're on praying ground. And we need to be on praying ground. And if you're not on praying ground today, that is to say, if you don't have a relationship with God as your Father and Christ as your Savior, oh, how you need that. And how you can have that. Because as these men have been singing this morning, oh, how He loves you. Learn that today. He loves you. Christ died for you. He died so that you might be in the family of God and have a relationship with God. In fact, if we look at all the parts of this prayer, they all revolve around the theme of Father. You can look at each one in that light. We see the Father's purpose here. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. We see the Father's provision, as it says, give us this day our daily bread. We see our Father's pardon. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We see the Father's protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then we see the Father's power, don't we? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Here's the wonderful thing as we remember this prayer and use it as a guideline. We remember this. We have a loving Father, but at the same time we're coming to a powerful King. We have the sympathy of a Father. We have the sovereignty of a King. So nothing you can bring to Him is too much. Everything in the sight of God is going to be small. Even your biggest challenges, your biggest problems, your biggest needs, they're nothing to God. They're just small potatoes, we might say, because He has everything beneath His feet. Amen? And so come to the Father. Come to your Father. Come to the Father who is an all-powerful and all-merciful Father. Not only do we see a relationship with our Father here, but we see a reverence for our Father. A reverence for our Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. That word hallowed means to be set apart, to be kept holy, to be sacred. And it's not just the name by which we call God. When it says, hallowed be Thy name, let's understand that the name of God in the Scripture, it stands for all that God is and all that God does. As the psalmist indicates, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. All that God is represented in His name. So certainly the person of God should be reverenced. Let's learn this about prayer this morning. That He is not the man upstairs. He is not one of us. Now, yes, we ought to be on familiar terms with God. We ought to feel an ease or a freedom when we come to God. In fact, the Bible says, come boldly unto the throne of grace. And boldly simply means freely, with ease. Yes, certainly we ought to do that. But as we come to the Lord in prayer, let's remember that He is God and we are not. He is to be revered. He is, in fact, to be feared. He is to be held in high regard and reverence. And so the prayer reminds us to do just that. The psalmist said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." I want you to take your Bibles and turn, if you're there in Matthew 6, just turn back a few pages to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter number 3. Look with me at one verse over here. We don't normally turn to the book of Malachi, but since we're here real close, I want you to see this. Malachi 3 and verse 16. By the way, the Scripture has some of the great verses you'll ever find if you look at some of the 3:16s in Scripture. That is chapter 3, verse 16. We already know John 3:16. You can look at Colossians 3:16. You can look at 1 Timothy 3:16. And now we're going to look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Get familiar with this. Look what it says. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." Those who love the Lord and fear the Lord think on His name. And when we think on His name, that being, that attributes of God, all of that involves Him and His work, it ought to be held in reverence in our hearts and in our minds. You know, in the Ten Commandments, we're told not to profane the name of God. He will not hold us guiltless if we take the name of God in vain. It says in Exodus 20, verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Now that means more than just using God's name as a curse word or using it in profanity. To take the name of the Lord in vain is to refer to Him in any trivial or light or loose way. Beware of saying things, and I'm just using this for sake of illustration. Beware of saying, "Lordy, Lordy, what are we going to do?" The name of God is holy. Reverence it. Do you know, in Old Testament times, when godly Jewish people would come across the name of God in the Scripture, they would not even pronounce it, because they did not want to go over that line and be found guilty of taking God's name in vain. There should be a reverence for our Father. But then the third thing and the last thing I want you to see is in verse 10, and that is a request of our Father. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in earth as it is in heaven." Now, this request sums up all that we ought to be asking of the Lord. "Thy kingdom come." Now, that's not just His kingdom out yonder somewhere. What that means is that you're asking the King Himself. You're asking for the King to come into your life, to take charge of your life, to take charge of your family, of your business, of your work. "Thy kingdom come" is like saying, "You, O King, come." Remember when Jesus began His earthly ministry? He said, "The kingdom of God is at hand." Well, what He was saying in essence was, "I am the King and I'm here. And you need to understand who I am and what I've come to do." So when we're praying, "Thy kingdom come," it's not just so the rapture will happen and not just so that we'll go to heaven, but it is in fact that the King would be welcomed into every area, every avenue, every thought, every decision of our lives. "Thy kingdom come" to me and to you. By the way, I want to challenge you over the next 40 days, like Todd has challenged the youth, this 40-day revolution. I'm going to challenge you to do something. Here it is. You know, a lot of times I don't give you homework. I'm going to give you some homework today. All right? It's good homework. And the homework is, I'm going to challenge you to read with your family, whoever that may be. If you're a one-person family, then just you and God. You just spend time and look at it yourself. But if you have a family, gather everybody around and read through the Lord's Prayer every day, sometime every day for the next 40 days. Okay, will you do that? Say amen. I'll tell you, at the end of 40 days, this is going to make an impression on your heart. Maybe you'll want to remember it. Maybe you'll want to hide it in your hearts by memory. But at least you'll become so familiar with these words that you will, it'll be like second nature to be using this as a guideline for your prayers. Now it says, "Thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth." What's that talking about? Precisely what it means. Did you know as we're gathering here this morning and we're worshiping, just think of the heavenly worship that's going on up there. And did you realize in heaven, God's will is always done? No question, no stammer, no stutter. Yes, sir, we'll do whatever you want us to do. Redeemed saints do God's will. Angels do God's will. All the heavenly hosts, whatever God wants, it's done. But on earth, that's not true, is it? This is a prayer saying, Lord, we want your will to be done here, even as it is being done there. Oh, we look around and we see on every hand, the will of God is not within 100 yards of some folks in their thinking. They could care less about the will of God. That again is why I say this is for God's people to pray this way. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And when we pray that way, listen, we have to be willing to be a part of the answer to that. Praying that way means that if we're saying, Lord, please save my lost uncle, my lost cousin, we have to be willing to be a part of the answer and go witness to them. Give them a gospel tract. Give them a marked New Testament. How can we pray, save my loved ones, when we don't want to be a part of the answer? How can we pray, for example, Lord, I know it's your will for me to have wisdom, and I pray now, give me wisdom. And yet we don't spend time in the Word of God. You see, we have to work hand in hand with this prayer. Praying that God's will is done on earth, and then being a part of the answer to that. If we pray, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we're not willing to be a part of the answer, you know what we are? We're hypocrites. Because we're just praying something that makes us feel good and it sounds nice, but we're not willing to get involved. You see, this is a life-changing prayer. And I know I'm about out of time, and that's where I want to close. I want to just say this. Prayer doesn't change God, it changes us. You know when you begin to pray this Lord's Prayer as a model, you know what you're going to do? You're going to prepare yourself, or let me say it better this way, God is going to prepare you and me for how He's going to answer. If we pray, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, and then we see God's hand at work, which we will, God will move and God will bless, then when the answer comes, we'll know unmistakably that was of God. Because we prayed about it. And that being the case, it makes us humble. It makes us grateful. It makes us the kind of people on the receiving end that we ought to be. Not just on the asking end, but on the receiving end. When we know that God is answering our prayers. So we're going to be looking at this for the next several weeks, and I hope you'll come and be a part of it. Would you bow with me for prayer this morning as we bring the invitation to this time of the service? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The invitation is a very simple one. Very simple one. It's to ask this question with heads bowed and eyes closed. Do you really have a relationship with God? Is He real to you? Is He personal to you? Can you honestly say He's my Father in heaven? And I know He is because at some point in my life I've asked Jesus into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. I've received Him. Can you honestly say what these men sang from the heart a few moments ago? I cannot forget. I have not forgotten. Because you remember that time when you trusted Christ, you became a child of God, a child of the King. If you can't remember that time, and if you know, in fact, that you have never done that, you ought to settle that in your heart right now. Just pray like this. Pray it and mean it. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let me tell you something. He said in His Word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just call upon Him now, the Savior. Forgive you. Lord, we pray that souls will be saved this morning. You alone know the hearts of all men. We know Your grace is available. And we would never doubt Your love for any of us here today. You proved it by sending Jesus Christ, Your Son, to die on the cross in our place and on our behalf. We love You for that. We thank You for that. And we worship Your holy name. Lord, I pray if there's anyone who needs to receive Christ here this morning, that they will do that and settle it for sure in their heart. For Christians, I pray all of us will come back to the place of obedience and surrender, doing what we ought to be doing. Some may have strayed. Some may have been wandering. We pray today will be a time to come home and to serve You. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand?